I want you to open your Bibles now to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. This one verse caught my attention. In Mark chapter 12, verse 37, the last line of verse 37 will be our text and our subject. The last line, it says, after our Lord spake, it says, and the common people heard him gladly. And the common people heard him gladly. The common people. We have a man, a member of this church, who every time I say hello to him and ask him how he is, he replies in this way. I say, how are you? He says, common. He's not here, but they're visiting relatives, but I believe he'd appreciate that. But if there are any more like that, I believe there are common folk, then you will hear this message gladly. Common people. The word common means ordinary. Run of the mill. It could easily say, they worked at the mill, run of the mill. Common, ordinary people, not wise after the flesh, not mighty, not noble. They were nobodies, no real reputation, no fame, honor, or glory, no real influence, no great power or wealth. These were just ordinary people. And these were the people, the persons our Lord appealed to and which heard him gladly, with great gladness. Not the high and mighty, not the self-righteous, not the overly pious, not the proud, not the intellectual, not the Pharisees, Sadducees, or scribes, but common people, just common people. Common folk. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, no saving. Listen to me. When I talk about common, ordinary people and people with no influence or no wealth and prestige and all that, listen to this too. This is equally important. There's no saving virtue in poverty either. There's no saving virtue in ignorance either. There's no saving virtue in being uneducated or being ordinary. There's no saving virtue in that either. Pride, poor people, some are just as proud as rich. Uneducated can be just as proud as the educated. Nobodies can be just as proud as somebodies, right? Pride knows no bound. But these things that Paul is going to speak of here, worldly wisdom and so forth, attainments, they're a real hindrance. They're a real hindrance. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 1, let's read several verses, okay? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, Paul says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not many preachers can say that, can they? So many so-called preachers are in this thing to put notches on their belt or baptisms on the rope. But to preach the gospel. Not either. He says, I'm not to preach with wisdom of words. So that means high-sounding oratory, intellectual. He says in chapter 2, excellency of speech. not sent to do it that way, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said in another place, we use great plainness of speech. Why? We want plain people to understand. I'm preaching to sheep, not giraffes. You put the food down where sheep can get to it. Preaching the cross, it says, there is foolishness to some, to them that perish. And that's what you're saved is the power of God. Look, read on. Verse 19. It is written in Isaiah 29, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, worldly wise, who brings to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Paul seems to challenge them. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Verse 21. In the wisdom of God, after that, in the wisdom and purpose of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's the wisdom of God. Why? Because it's of grace. Salvation is to all. If it were by wisdom, only the wise, only the intellectual, only the educated would get it. Right? Aren't you glad? You see your calling? He said, read on. In the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's not many wise men out of the flesh going to subject themselves to a vain babbler. Or this foolishness going on here called preaching. Just preaching. What are you going to do this morning? Have a cantata? No, I'm going to preach. Well, that's beneath me. Now, I don't know, common people hear it gladly. They're not the wise. The Jews, verse 22, require a sign. Well, show us something. Greeks seek after wisdom. Tell us something. Something we haven't heard before. Some new thing. But we preach Christ crucified. He said in chapter 2, I'm determined not to know anything among you. He said this at Corinth, John. The seat of learning, politics, and art. Corinth. The modern day equivalent is Washington, D.C. or the likes. He said, I'm not interested in politics. I'm not interested in philosophy. I'm only interested in Christ and Him crucified, and you knowing Christ and Him crucified. So if you come hear me, Paul said, you're going to hear Christ and Him crucified. Not the philosophy of the day. Not the moral issues of the day. But the issue between man and God. What think ye of Christ? Verse 25, the foolishness of God, or that what man calls foolishness, preaching, is wiser than men. The weakness of God, or that which they say is weakness, is stronger than men. Now you see your calling, brethren. Huh? Do you, Terry? You see your calling? I do. Right here. Here it is. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. I think it was an ancient queen of England said, I thank God for the letter M. Someone said M. She said, yes, it doesn't say not any noble are called, but not many. And God does save some mighty and noble and wise, but God, verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, or that which the world calls foolishness, or fools for Christ's sake, to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, base things of the world. Things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not or nothing to bring to naught things at all. Why? No flesh is going to glory. No flesh is going to glory. So, do you see your calling? This message is to nobody. this message is to base people. Somebody said everybody in God's choir sings bass, B-A-S-E. Things which are despised, things that are nothing, nothings and nobodies. So we're going to have to common. We're going to have to become common, at least in our hearts and minds, before the gospel will be heard gladly. All right, look at Mark chapter 12. Look at it again. It says, look over here in Mark 12. It says, the common people heard him gladly, but there were some people that did hear him who despised everything he said. They hated him. They hated his disciples afterward. Look at verse 13. Certain of the Pharisees and the Herodians came to do what? To hear him and learn from him. No. To critique him. To catch him in his word, as Scripture said. To catch him in his word. To argue with him. To debate with him. Look at verse 18. It says that then came the Sadducees. They were doctors of the law. They had a D.D. or an M.D. or something. Probably mostly a B.S. But they came to hear him and to catch him as well as us. They came to try to disprove him, to argue with him, debate him. Verse 28. And then some of the scribes, well, verse 18, the Sadducees came. They believed no resurrection. Verse 28, then the scribes came. So the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, religious people. And everyone here knows that religious people know it all, don't they? They know it all. You can't tell a religious person anything. They know it all. They might not be able to. I sat up one night. Several years ago, I still lived back in Ashland. And I sat and talked to a young man about my age. He's right now pastoring a church, so I use the term lightly. But I sat up talking to him about 2 in the morning about the scriptures and all that. And you know, he had an MDiv. That's a Master of Divinity. And he couldn't quote one verse of scripture to me. Not one. Our Lord said the same thing to, look at verse 24, look up there. Our Lord said to some of these, and oh, it made them mad. Verse 24, he says, Christ answered and said unto them, do ye not therefore err because you know not the scriptures? Oh, Rick, don't you know that? They got furious. Neither the power of God. Why didn't they know the scriptures? They didn't know him and of whom the scriptures were written. They'd have known the scriptures, they'd have known the one that's talking to them, because he spake nothing but what God told him. Right? Didn't he say that? He said, I speak not of myself, but the Father which has sent me. He told me what to say. And everything I said is written. They'd have known the scriptures. They'd have known him, the incarnate word. And on the other hand, I know some who can quote many scriptures but don't know them. You know any like that? Can quote them, but they don't know them. Why? If we don't know the word in the word, we're ignorant of the word. If we don't know the word of whom the word speaks, we're ignorant of the word. They are they which testify of me, Christ said. You search the scriptures, you do well. It's a good thing. But if I'm not seen in them, you're ignorant of what they're about. Me. Old Testament says somebody's coming. It's of someone who's coming. The Gospels say he's here. He's here. The epistles and the revelation say he's coming again. And all that he said. All that he said. Well, verse 37, these people came to argue with him. But verse 37, the common people heard him gladly. Common people. No errors about, no hypocrisy, no put on. Sadducees and Pharisees, we read that over in Matthew, didn't we? How they loved chief seats and titles, salutations. He said in another place, Matthew 23, to make long prayers. Why? Well, they're interested in one thing, that people think they're religious. Well, common people aren't so much interested in what people think about them as what God thinks about them. Right? And not so much interested in being accepted by people, be thought well thought of by people, as to be accepted in the beloved. No put on, no show of religion. They had no religion to make a show of. I like it when people come here who have no background in religion and don't have many obstacles that way. The plain old ordinary sinners heard him. It says they heard him. They listened. They weren't waiting to speak. They heard him. They heard him. Gladly. They heard glad tidings. Are you with me? They heard glad tidings. Only an old sinner will hear glad tidings. You'll hear talk about blood. An old sinner will, that'd be glad tidings to him. Glad tidings to a sad sinner. Barnard used to say, I preach for a verdict that men might go away either glad, sad, or mad. One or the other. Indifference. Don't like that. But for a verdict. He said, if I haven't preached clearly enough and men don't go away one or the other, I haven't done my job. Pharisees ought to get mad. Sinners ought to get sad. Believers ought to be glad. Glad tidings to sad sinners. Good news to bad people. Good news to bad people. The gospel's good news only to bad people. Brother Scott Richardson made this old statement. He said, I've never heard any bad news since I heard the good news. That's good, isn't it? But I coined this one. You'll never hear any good news until you hear the bad news. Salvation for sinners. Rotten sinners. Unless a man or a woman ever reaches that point, the gospel won't mean a thing to them. Mercy won't mean a thing to somebody unless they're guilty. Grace won't mean a thing to somebody who can help themselves. But it'll mean something to somebody who's helpless. Glad tidings. Common people heard him gladly. Strong God. They'll hear a strong God. Only weak sinners need a strong God. They'll hear of a successful salvation. A successful salvation for religious failures. Those who have tried religion that didn't work, they need a successful salvation. They need someone who works. And nothing can let it. Is that John? You're smiling. Sovereign mercy. Some people need to hear sovereign mercy, love, and grace. Why? Because they can't, without him, they can do nothing. The strengthless need a strong God. The no good need good news. The unrighteous need to hear about a righteousness prepared for them. Common people heard him gladly. We heard these things too many, too often, too much, to where it's no longer glad news to us, glad tidings. You hear me gladly? Same old, same old. Same old, same old. Violet, how many times have you heard all this talk about blood and righteousness? I'm telling you, throughout eternity, you're going to hear about blood and righteousness. And gladly. Sing his same old song, though. Same old song. Throughout eternity, Stan, we're going to be singing one song. One song. One song. Don't you know anything? Do we need to? Worthy is the Lamb. Next verse, same as the first. Here's some other things that, you know, turn over to Jude chapter 3. Common people. Here's some things these common people have in common. Jude chapter 3. Jude 3. You know, in a way, though, the person I'm talking about or preaching to is very uncommon. You know? Who was the old writer that said a sinner is a sacred thing? The Holy Spirit has made himself. In other words, a sinner is hard to find. Not many people out there, bona fide sinners. They talk in general terms. Yes, we have sinned, but not in the terms of like David, against thee and thee only have I sinned. You'll be just when you judge me. Me. Not we. Not we have sinned. But I. God be merciful to me, a sinner. The sinner. Or like the Apostle Paul. I'm the chief. And that's a very uncommon person. Very uncommon. But let me tell you this, all of God's people think that way, without exception. All of them think that way. These things, they have these things in common. They are nothing, and that means Christ is all. Christ is only all to a nothing. You know what? Well, I'm somebody. Well, then Christ is not everything to you. Then. Right? You're nothing, Deborah. You're a nobody. Then Christ is everything to you. And you want to win him, be found in him. If you're a sinner, you need a great Savior. Here's some other things they have in common. Look at Jude chapter 3. It says, Jude verse 3. It says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, exhort you, you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Common salvation. This is something all common people have in common. They're saved the same way. Common salvation. They're saved the same way. When we talk about having something in common, that means we have things in common. The same things, right? Well, common people are saved the same way. How's that? Christ, who is the way. Right, Garnet? Not Christ and, no, but Christ. Period. No comma. No and. No conjunction. Period. Christ is all. Period. Period. By Christ, who is the way. That's how they're saved. Salvation is a work of God Almighty. And it's, listen to me, it's infinitely above and beyond any common ordinary thing. It's not called common in the sense that it's some everyday common or something that's not extraordinary. No, it's infinitely above and beyond any common or ordinary occurrence. Not many. The Scripture said, are chosen. Many are called, but few. So it's not common in that sense that most people have it. Something is common to most. No, it's common in the sense that all are saved the same way. Look at verse 1. He describes it, this faith, this common salvation. Verse 1, he said, read it. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. That's the way all common people are saved. That's common salvation. How? They're sanctified by God the Father. What does that mean? That means they're set apart by God Almighty, chosen, picked out of mass. Yes, some even out of Roman Catholic mass. They're picked out of the mass. They're chosen out of the the pile, plucked from the burning, elected. You get tired of hearing that. Oh, my soul. Elect, sanctified by God. Why did God choose you, Rebecca, and not your cronies or your old buddies, young buddies? Huh? Why? Because you were a good girl. Oh, she would say, and you would say, if you're one of his elect, if he'd chosen on merit, I'd have been the last. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. Hadst thou not first chosen me, I would have never chosen thee. All saved people have this in common. God elected them. More than a doctrine. That's cause for praising God to high heaven. Why me? It's going to be what we're thinking all through eternity. Never an adequate answer. Why me? Except this, it seemed good in my sight. Out of all the rest, some of your brothers and sisters that care not a whit for the gospel, why you? I tell you, why you? Who maketh thee to differ? Because God said, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. Me? Yeah, you. And you, who were sometime alien and enemies in your mind by your own wicked work, have he. And you. But God. Oh, that's more than a doctrine, people. That's cause for rejoicing of our heart. Chosen by God, sanctified, culled out of the herd. Culled out of the herd, cut out of the pack. Chosen by God. And given to Christ, it says in verse 1, preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Given to Jesus Christ to be saved. Preserved. Reserved by God, preserved by Christ. Reserved by God, but preserved by Christ. Any of you ladies make preserves, jams and jelly? What you do is you put things up, common, ordinary things, you put them in a jar and you boil it and you seal it and from all impurities. And it's fit for the table. Well, that's exactly what God does to his people in Christ, through the blood of Christ. Preserves them for his holy use. And makes us holy, makes us righteous by his life. Christ made us righteous by his life, imputed it to us. Washed us from our sin. Those vegetables or fruits have to be washed, don't they? He washes us from our sin. In his own blood. And are kept, preserved, how? By his power. By his power, which is his word. Accepted in the beloved, hidden in the cleft, seated in the heavenlies with him. Preserved in Christ. And called. Look at the third thing. This is this salvation we have in common. God chose you. Christ lived and died for you and keeps you and are called. All common people are saved the same way. How? They hear the gospel. They're called by our gospel. What gospel is that? Read the next verse. Of mercy and peace and love. Mercy to the worst. Peace for enemies and love to the unlovely. The gospel. They're called by his Spirit. The gospel is God's voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And there's one voice, isn't it? One voice, one gospel, which says, I'm God, and without this there's no gospel, which says, I'm God, all flesh is grass, and behold my servant. That's the threefold message of the gospel preacher. God is God, all flesh is grass, and behold, your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And these common people have something else in common. is saved the same way, common salvation. Turn over to Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. There's something else that common people have in common. Did that make you glad, old common feller? This common salvation, you glad to hear it one more time? That we sang that song a while ago, In This Glad Hour. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Why? I'm going to hear these glad tidings. I come to hear from Him. If you do, you'll hear Him gladly. You'll hear these same things gladly. They rejoice your heart. Titus chapter 1, look at verse 1. They had this in common. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. This is something common people have in common. They believe the same way. They were saved the same way, and they know it. They believe it. They have the common faith, which is, in verse 1, the faith of God's elect, which he said back in Jude, faith once delivered to the saints. Well, all the saints, it's delivered to all the saints. St. John, St. Stanley. Say, is there a St. Stanley? Yeah. Barbara, but Saint Barbara, which this gospel was once delivered unto her. It's the gospel. The faith of God's elect. They all believe the same way. Ephesians 4, verse 5 says there's one Lord, and there's one what? Huh? Faith. Oh, but there's many denominations. People did believe differently. They all want to get No. There's one faith, Ephesians 4, 5 said. And it says this here too. Common faith. Common faith. What is it? Look at verse 1 again. The acknowledging of the truth. Paul said that to the Thessalonians, some people did not receive the love of the truth. Didn't they? Some people received not the love of the truth. Paul said to young Timothy, as time's coming when they shall turn away their ears from the truth. We don't like that. What? Election. It's in the Bible. I still don't like it.
That's not for you.
Then you have not the faith of God's elect. Common people love it. They love it. And that's not due to themselves. That's because God chose them to believe it. Right? Oh. Life comes before faith. God chose them to believe. Chose them to believe. One Lord, one faith, acknowledging of the truth. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Truth promised by God before the world began. Verse 3. In due time, manifesting his word through preaching. Revealed by preaching. Anyone despises preaching
has not the faith of God's elect.
But people who love it, they have this common faith. They love it. Common faith. He said, our Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 45, they shall all be taught of God. They shall all be taught of the Father. All. Taught of the Father. What are they taught? Salvation's of the Lord. They all say the same thing. Sum up your doctrine in one line, believer. Sum it up. God is love. Salvation's of the Lord. That'll sum it up. And he said there in verse, in that same verse, verse 4, grace, mercy, and peace, which is in every single epistle. Grace, mercy, and peace. That sums up the faith of God's elect, doesn't it? How are you saved? Grace? Right? Hey, common fella. How were you saved? Grace? Grace? Grace and? No, grace. By grace, you say. Grace. Undeserved, unmerited salvation. Mercy? How were you saved? Sovereign mercy. Sovereign mercy. I obtained mercy. That's how I was saved. How will you say peace? How? You make peace with God? I was angry with God. Thank God His Son obtained peace for me by the blood of His cross. Sins paid for by Christ. God's anger and wrath put on Him, not me. That's how peace. From God, sovereignly from God, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, sovereignly from Him. Upon chosen vessels. All common people believe these common things. They're common faith. Common faith. Without exception. Let me add this.
And whoever's baby's crying, don't worry. She'll be fine. We haven't lost one yet. There are no four-point Calvinists. Or believers. I don't care who believes, who says that. There are no, because, let me tell you this, the very heart of every believer's religion or his faith, the very heart and soul of his faith is what? What is his salvation hinge on?
What is it that makes atonement for his soul?
If Jesus Christ shed His blood for me, then I am saved. And everyone
for whom Christ died will be saved. That's their only hope, people. If somebody He died for is not saved in the end, His blood is worthless. Right? If righteousness come by the law, Christ did what?
Can somebody quote it? Say it, John. Died in vain.
That's a serious charge. If you tell me there's somebody in hell that Jesus Christ died for, then I'm going there too. Because I can't keep myself. If it's my faith that's going to keep me, I'm a goner. If it's my works that's going to keep me, I'm a goner.
But if God sees the blood, and since when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'm saved. I'm saved.
Hey, common fellow, if that makes you glad, it's going to make us glad in heaven. Huh? It's going to make us real glad when they saw the Lamb as it had been slain. Every sinner in heaven will say, that's why I'm here. Let's sing about it. And I'll lead it. Blood. It's no mere theological question to be debated. Our souls hang on the blood. Common faith. Every single believer believes it's the blood that makes atonement for their soul. Not
faith in the blood.
Our faith is fickle and finite, isn't it? Up and down. One day I have faith in the blood, the next day I don't have faith in the blood. What does not change? The blood before the Lord. And that makes me glad. God is faithful to His promise. That since He laid down His life for His sheep, they have eternal life. God cannot lie. Oh, it's more than a doctrine to debate. That's this old common Joe's salvation. All right, look at 1 Corinthians 10. Look at it with me. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Turn over there. Here's something else they have in common, and I'll wind this up. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." Not many ways, but a way to escape. What's the way to escape? Well, who is the way? Christ is the way. He said, "I'm a very present help in time of trouble, that you may be able to bear it." Believers, common folk, have common trials. Common trials. If you want to turn over here in John 15, our Lord said this is the thing that most believers, that all believers have most in common. John 15, he said in verse 18, "The world hates you." He said that. He said, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Because you're not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word I said unto you, servant's not greater than his Lord. They persecuted me, they will also persecute you. You, persecution is the most common trial that believers have in common because of their stand for the truth and the gospel. They'll be hated by all men for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Don't be hated for your own orneriness. Don't do that. Don't be offensive to people. But if the gospel be offensive, so be it. And it will. It will. They are commonly persecuted, hated, and they go through common afflictions as well. David said, "The waters of a full cup, the waters of a full cup of trouble are wrung out on God's people. Cup of sorrows, grief, troubles, temptations, fiery trials, temptations, chastening as children." A chasten as gold to remove the dross, as saints to sanctify, to wean them from the world, to make them fit to be partakers, or meet to be partakers with the saints in light. And lastly, Acts chapter 4. This is the last thing. Certainly not the only, but my last point. Acts chapter 4 is something else they have in common. Acts chapter 4. All believers, common people, have a common salvation, common faith, common trials, and they have these common possessions. Look at Acts 4. It says, down in verse 34. It's Acts 4. Verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and bought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet." And another place it says they had all things common. I think that's chapter 2. They had all things common. And what believers have in common, not only here, they have an inheritance. They have an inheritance with the saints in glory, inheritance, unsearchable riches of Christ, things prepared by God that I hadn't seen. Eternal life, eternal joy, things, common things in heaven, but common things on earth too. Common things on earth. The believer says to another believer, "What's mine is yours." Right? It's more than just a byword. My house is your house. They mean it. They mean it. What mine is yours. God's house is my house is your house. Mine is thine, thine is mine. And our Lord said that in one place. He said, you remember when he said to the disciples who said, well, Lord, we've left all and followed thee. What are we going to have? Remember that? Oh, he said, what do you have? Oh, in heaven, unsearchable riches, eternal life, unspeakable joy, which things have not entered into your heart, your minds, your eyes haven't seen, your ears haven't heard them, so you can't rejoice as you should. But he said, but even then, on this earth, he said, even down here, Sherry, he said, there's no man that has left houses or land, a mother or father, son or daughter, or mother or wife, for me, for the gospel's sake, who shall not receive
100-fold
in this life. Didn't he say that?
100 houses. I have 100 houses. Do you? I have 100 houses. I have one in Danville, Kentucky. I have one in Pikeville, Kentucky. I have one in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And on the list goes. I have several in each of those towns. I have 40 or 50. And I have thousands of houses. Huh?
I have about 40 in this town. Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Common. They all said that there was nothing that they owned themselves. They had all things common. That means what was theirs was everybody else's, all other believers. And they shared them accordingly. Common people. Did you hear that? All that gladly. I hope so. That's common people do. Common people hear it gladly. All right. Let's